Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to go to Mike Tomlin's news conference any second here. Bob Pompiani doing the intros over there, and it's time to get ready for the surprising, perhaps even shocking, Chicago Bears, the team that made a call in the offseason to try to trade for Mike Tomlin. Isn't that interesting, Limits? Imagine a world where they traded Tomlin to the Bears for a first-round pick and then hired Ben Johnson. Holy bird milk.
And then this could have been Jackson Dart going up against Mike Tomlin, potentially, or whatever quarterback the Steelers would have.
Wow. But here the Steelers sit with a gigantic game, still holding on to first place in the AFC North. And this is sort of a fascinating matchup. You know, I've seen bits and pieces of the Bears, but what are they all about? How are they doing this? They keep winning these stunning games. You know, late, it doesn't feel like they're as good as their record, but they definitely have some offensive weapons and they definitely have a coach who can call plays. I don't have any doubt about that. And Caleb Williams is a talent. I still think he's very unpolished, and I think the Steelers can get after him in a big way, but there's no doubt he is a talent, and I would think that they're going to have a pretty good plan coming in for that Steeler defense. We're going to hear Tomlin update us, presumably, on Aaron Rodgers. The update you had said no surgery for him. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
From Pellicero. So I imagine right off the top, we'll hear Tomlin address that issue, some other injuries that are happening.
And here we go.
Alex Highsmith, here we go.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a quick assessment of our last performance. I just thought as the game went on, our fight was evident. We made more plays in all three phases the deeper we got into the game. And that's what you want to see and feel from a group that's fighting. And I felt it. Certainly, I thought it was significant. There was less speculation from a defensive perspective of what we might get from Flacco and company. The first time we played those guys, we had a one-week body of work to study, and it wasn't a complete week. And so there was more speculation about how Joe would alter their attack, how the lens through which he would see it, the things that they would do to get the ball, obviously, to their two top playmakers. And, you know, as we stood in here last week, we said there was less speculation there, although they had been highly successful. I think Joe had thrown for over 400 yards the week prior to our game. There was less speculation there. We could anchor down and make some hardcore decisions about how to allocate our schematic resources and our talent. I thought the guys did a nice job absorbing the plan and executing the plan. In game, certainly we had some challenges and guys continually step up for us. Two guys in the secondary, certainly worth mentioning, are Kyle Duggar and James Pierre, but I think we also talked about those guys a week ago. From an offensive perspective, it's good when you absorb some attrition and the ball keeps rolling. Can't say enough about Mason Rudolph. Although we're used to it, it's still appreciated. He's proven over his time here that he's capable of coming in and playing winning football for us. And that's no small task. When you're preparing during the course of a week as a backup, you have a limited number of reps. Usually the guts of the plan are geared toward the specific talents of the starters. And so you may get some reps, but it might not be quote unquote plays that are, you know, perfectly in your wheelhouse. he's always found a way to manage those challenges, to remain confident, for that confidence to ooze out of him and be a catalyst for a collective performance. And we got that. We certainly got quality efforts from Kenny Gainwell as well. Once Jalen was limited in the game, can't say enough about Kenny. Kenny does a lot of things well for us. I always refer to him as a football player first and a running back second. He's good in the running game. He's good in the passing game. He returns kicks for us. He covers kicks. He had a kickoff tackle, I think, on Sunday as a reflection of that versatility. And so excited about our ability to secure that very important AFC North win. But it's equally important that we build upon that this week and stack wins. It's November. Teams are revealing themselves this time of year. You're consistently improving or you're consistently not. Certainly we desire to be in the first group. We'll get an opportunity to display that on weekends. In the meanwhile, man, we got to work with an edge from a prep standpoint to ensure that happens. As you get into the guts of this thing, some of your physical preparation gets somewhat limited due to the attrition component of this journey or just simply the nature in which we practice. And so how do you get better, man? It's attention to detail. It's classroom work. It's additional informal work. It's really pointed on-field work. And so I'm excited about this week from that standpoint. From a health standpoint, I'll talk about some things. First, Aaron. Aaron's got a fracture in his wrist. It does not require surgery. Really, it's just about bracing it and securing it for his comfort and safety. And then it's about how functional he is. And so we don't have the answers to that, as we stand here today. But certainly I would imagine we're going to get some clarity as we push through the week. I think his experience really kind of aids in that. He's the type of guy and has the type of profile that doesn't require a lot of physical work and an effort to be ready to play. And that's helpful. In the meanwhile, certainly it'll provide opportunities for Mason and Will to get quality work as we start the week. And I think that's the posture that we're in. A little later in the week, we'll take a look at Aaron. And again, as I mentioned, the variables are stabilizing it and making sure that he's safe and he can protect himself, brace himself as he falls, et cetera. Pain tolerance, but that doesn't seem to be an issue with Aaron. He wanted to go back in the game on Sunday. And then lastly, obviously, how effective he can be. And so, you know, Friday's probably a big day in terms of some of those things. I know he's working his tail off to be a component of this week. He and I talked yesterday. He expressed that directly. I'm of the mindset of supporting that, while at the same time, I got a healthy collective of guys as a team and as a unit to ready. In the meanwhile, that will be our mindset. We'll have a great week's work tomorrow, centered around Mason Rudolph and what he does, and we'll see where the week leads us, and we'll take it day by day. Alex Highsmith is still limited with his pec. He'll be limited at the early portions of the week. If there's an uptick in his participation and certainly good quality work, we'll consider him. Keyshawn Williams is in the protocol. We'll let the protocol speak for itself. I would imagine Slay is on the other side of the protocol, so we should be able to have him back this week. Similarly optimistic with Cole Holcomb. Jalen Warren had an ankle injury in game. It certainly will limit him at the early portions of this week, but I think we're all optimistic about his inclusion as we push through the week. And then we got some other bumps and bruises associated with play. Guys came back like Isaac Siamalu, man, doesn't appear to have any negative effects of his participation. Certainly might limit him at the top of the week, but it's not going to affect his availability as we push forward toward game time. Now on to the Bears. Really excited about this one. I love the challenge of seeing a new collective, someone that we don't see quite often, and certainly they fit that description, but they're also a new collective from a schematics perspective. I'll start first on defense. They have Dennis Allen as their coordinator. He's been around. He has a mode of operation, if you will, and you see it in their video. They covet taking the ball away. They lead the league in takeaways. I think they got 22 on the season. D.A. also prides himself in good possession down defense. I think they're second in the league in terms of third down success rate. And I think those two statistics are the catalyst for why they're playing really good defense, and they're a 7-3 football team. They're taking the ball away from people. They're playing really good on possession downs. Offensive units are at about 33.7, I think, percent conversion rates. Couple that with what's going on in the offensive side of the ball, you certainly have your challenges. They got quality players at all levels. They picked up Sweat a couple of years ago from Washington. He's the signature of their front and edge rush. He's a challenge, certainly, to deal with and has been. At the linebacker level, Edmonds, man, is a sideline-to-sideline tackler, big-time athlete. He's a good blitzer. I think he's got 4 interceptions on the season. They got some guys in the secondary that are really taking advantage of some circumstances, man, and getting people in one-dimensional moments. People have to absorb risk to keep pace with them, come back in football games, et cetera. And they're getting a lot of turnovers. Kevin has done it a long time at the safety position. He's been a ball guy. I was just, you know, talking to someone this morning, man. He picked off balls as a member of the Tennessee Titans. He picked off balls at Middle Tennessee State. Guys that have a knack for securing the ball, generally they do it regardless of environment. And it certainly continues in Chicago for him. I think he leads them with 5 interceptions. They're getting some quality play outside at corner as well. Man, Gardner Johnson is a recent acquisition for them. And, boy, he has really got on the move and trained in a really impressive fashion. He plays the nickel for them. He blitzes quite a bit. He's really good in underneath defense and man-to-man circumstances. I think he's got 3 sacks. As I mentioned, their third down posture is an aggressive one. They're in an up posture a lot. They blitz and bring a lot of people, Gardner Johnson being one of them. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Brisker as well. He's a down safety that's in and around the line of scrimmage quite a bit. I've known that young man a long time and got respect for his talents and his relationship with the game and the energy that he plays with as well. And then on the offensive side of the ball, certainly Ben Johnson challenges you schematically with his approach to ball. It's somewhat unique, but it is a mode of operation. They run the ball. They have a commitment. They have a 2-back system similar to what they had in Detroit. They have some highly successful perimeter runs like they also did in Detroit. They got some third down runs that they'll push away. They're gadget-oriented. The reverse game is a big component of it as well. All things that we saw from him in Detroit. They're doing a real good job of taking care of the ball on that side as well. We got a defense that's got 22 takeaways, and I think you've only turned it over 6 times on offense. You're going to be 7-3 or something of that nature. You're going to win a lot of football games, and they have. They do a great job of preserving the ball and protecting it. I can't say enough about what I've seen from Caleb Williams. Certainly I had studied him a lot, being a young guy in this league and an NFC guy, but just really impressed with his physical talents. His ability to throw the football, his accuracy, his arm strength, his ability to extend, his ability to see the full field while doing so, minimizing negativity, the creativity associated with his escapability and play extension is really challenging. It's not only challenging in the stadium, but to be quite honest with you, it's challenging to duplicate in the process of prep. I doubt Will Howard is going to give us a quality look at some of that stuff I've been looking at on tape, for example. He's got a full complement of eligibles to work with. DJ Moore and others, man, are really impressive. But he's also got some emerging young people, and you feel the emergence of some of the young talent. Loveland obviously had a big game the other week. against the Bengals. He's on the come, and so is Luther, their young receiver from Missouri. It's just particularly as you get to this stage of the season, some of these young, talented people that people have a lot of draft capital invested in usually captures my attention. They're usually finding their footing in this thing, and their talents are starting to show up more consistently. And so those are two lesser-known guys that really have my attention as I study and watch tape, and we're at the early stages of formulating a plan. Can't say enough about their commitment to the run game, though. They're number two in the league in rushing, and you can't underscore that. But that's something that was very evident. That commitment was very evident from his time in Detroit as well. And so we're working with an edge, man. We're excited about going into a hostile venue, playing against a really good team. If you're a competitor, if you're looking to get better, if you're looking to prove yourself continually, those are some variables that are really attractive. But again, we show our excitement by being locked in and having good preparation days, and I'm looking forward to that over the course of this week. I'll pause and open up for questions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just to be clear, so you're not ruling out Aaron, the possibility he could play?
No, I'm not.
And will Friday be the first day that he will test it? Is that kind of where you are?
That's just what I have in my mind. There hadn't been anything. I know he's not working tomorrow, but certainly I assume it's going to be a little later in the week. And in the meanwhile, it'll give us an opportunity to really get solid with a plan and physical preparation around the other two.
Mike, would you like to see him practice at all? I mean, is he going to have to practice a little bit to be available?
Yeah, functionality is a component of it. I don't need it for my comfort, but I certainly need it for functionality. And functionality is a major component of whether or not he gets an opportunity this week.
How do you balance game planning with the quarterback up in the air, tailoring it to Mason or to Aaron?
It's not anything to balance. We've gone through nine or so games catering it to Aaron and his talents and are gaining certain traction there about the schematics, and all the while we've been gaining some perspective about what's best for Mason. As a matter of fact, each and every week, you know, he kind of goes through things within the plan that are really comfortable for him. And so it won't be our first week at it. Certainly will be our first week operationally, but the process, you go through that just about every week as you prepare a starter and a potential backup in terms of how to best highlight their talents and so that the unit can move regardless of who's playing, particularly when they have different skill sets.
Following up on that point.
Doctors cleared Aaron to play?
Again, we're not going to get to that until we know that we can stabilize it. And so they're probably looking at some devices that do that and things of that nature. I haven't asked specifically that question, but I've given you the line of communication and conversation that we have. It's about stabilizing it. It's about making sure that he can manage the pain. That doesn't appear to be an issue. Again, having been around him, and then functionality. And so those are the variables.
How much input is he going to have versus you versus the doctors on decision-wise?
It's his body, so certainly he's going to be a component of the discussion.
Following up on the point that you made about getting the backup ready and knowing what they want should they get in there. Mason made the point in post-game comments about how valuable the time was. The Bengals' first drive when they got the field goal, the real time was a lot longer than the time off the clock. What they used, the time that he had with Arthur to get those plays in there. Can you kind of take us through how those conversations worked in halftime, knowing he was going in, how that led into getting those plays put together?
again, those conversations happen before we get in the stadium. They generally happen weekly toward the latter part of the week, Friday and Saturday. He'll get time with Arthur and highlight some things within the plan that best suit his skill set, the things that he sees with great clarity relative to who we're competing against. And so when you get in game and you're faced with elevating him, it's simply a continuation of some of those things with, you know, with a focus on what's transpiring in game. And so that's the nature of the conversation. It transpired at halftime. It transpired continually once they got to the sideline. It's ongoing in between series once you get in game. He only had two real series because how the second half unfolded, but that's the nature of the conversation and the flow of information and our general approach to it.
Mike, if Slay is healthy, does he step back in as a starter, or will you stick with Pierre?
Yeah, he steps back in and plays. Certainly, we're certainly going to continue to play James. He's deserving of that, but if healthy, Slay is going to play.
Mike, was Jalen Warren cleared to return on Sunday?
He was.
Sequence there right at the end of the quarter where he was on the field.
Correct.
And then you guys called timeout and he came off the field and then he didn't come back in the rest of the game. Is that a coaching decision based
yes.
on, was it protecting him or feeling that Gainwell was?
He was cleared to play. He was willing to play. We just thought Kenny was doing a good job. Those are decisions that we make in game sometimes. It's not totally up to the player's will or the expert medical device. It's about who gives us the best chance to win. And certainly at that point in the game, based on what we've seen, things were going well with Kenny. Things were less than ideal with Jalen. And so we stuck with the hot hand.
During that final sequence before the half, Aaron did take a couple of hits. Just to clarify, was he injured on the second down throw when he threw it out of bounds? Do you have any idea?
I don't know specifically when the injury occurred, no.
Mike, with Will Howard now potentially closer to playing time, will he get any reps with the first team this week in practice?
We'll see. We'll see where the week goes.
Mike, it's only been a couple of weeks for him. What have you noticed from him?
He's been with us the whole time, and so he's a sharp guy. Like the general trajectory of his work, he's certainly in the position that he's in, doesn't get a lot of quote-unquote stealer reps, but the reps that he does get, he is taking advantage of, and I'm sure there'll be an uptick in those opportunities this week.
Mike, Jimmy Pierre leads you guys, ties Joey with most passes broken up right now, despite not seeing the field as much as other DBs. What does he have to do to be more of a consistent presence for you guys, you know, over a guy like Darius Slay?
He's done a nice job, but again, usually when you're a backup, man, you get targets. And so when you get targets, you generally get breakups. We have not been displeased with his efforts. We've been quite pleased with his efforts. We're certainly interested in continuing to use him as we move forward.
Mike, Roman is getting more and more opportunities. What are you seeing from the snaps he's getting, Roman Wilson?
Same thing. He's a guy that's getting better with exposure, but that's a reasonable expectation. He's a second-year player. He's getting more comfortable within the framework of what we ask him to do. I think the game's slowing down for him. I certainly don't want to speak for him, but it's evident in watching him play.
Mike, how does Malik Harrison fit in once Holcomb comes back, and what do you think of his play so far?
We'll determine that. You know, he's done a nice job in the interim. You know, I don't view these juggling things as issues, to be quite honest with you. Not having options is an issue. And so if Cole is cleared to play, man, we'll have an issue in terms of how we divide the labor up between those two, just like if Slay is cleared to play, we'll have an issue of deciding how to divide the labor up. But from my perspective, none of that is a problem. A problem is when you don't have healthy, capable guys available to you.
Coach, talking about Caleb Williams' escapability, is your experience with all these matchups with someone like Lamar Jackson applicable for someone like Caleb, even though they're very different players?
In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. Certainly, most of us have a knee-jerk reaction or a schematic response to quarterback mobility, but they, as you mentioned, they're all unique and individual people. And so really right now, man, we're just getting really familiar with what makes Caleb Caleb.
Anyone else?
Mike, the three outside linebacker look certainly influenced the Duggar pick six. Nick had a real good rush on that. Are you finding that package to become more useful, especially as Sawyer has gotten a little bit more used to NFL action?
Yeah, but, you know, we were in that game even prior to Sawyer. You know, it's really about Herbick and Highsmith and Watt, obviously. Sorry's done a nice job of filling in when guys have been missing. But it's about getting people in one-dimensional passing circumstances and getting our very best rushmen on the field regardless of position.
Mike, what do you guys have to do to be more consistent on third down, particularly on third and long?
You know, the first thing you need to do is stay out of third and long. You know, I don't know many teams in the National Football League that are highly effective in those circumstances. Defensively, you know, it's rushing coverage. It is. And it's you know, a play here, a play there. Not overly concerned about it. You hate when you lose those downs, but not overly concerned about it.
Mike, do you get a sense that Aaron especially wants to play this week, given who the opponent is and his familiarity?
Aaron always wants to play. Opponent has nothing to do with it. It's his love affair with the game of football.
Was there a reason or explanation why he didn't come back out on the field after halftime?
As I mentioned, they were trying to assess the extent of his injury, and that takes time. And then certainly they want to stabilize it before they allow him to participate, even if he's willing. And so I imagine that those are the variables that played into him not returning to the sideline. And as I mentioned, the way that the game unfolded, we only had two possessions in the second half, I think, offensively anyway.
Mike, I know some of the play calling can change from one quarterback to the other based on what they like or maybe don't like. Does the overall game plan change between the two quarterbacks?
Not necessarily the game plan or your unit personality, but certainly, you know, the things within it. You know, everyone's different, particularly at the quarterback position. We certainly, if Mason's our guy this week, we want to work within his comfort zone, the things that he sees and does well that might differ from Aaron. And so, but again, it's all within the framework of what it is that we do.
How has Darnell gotten better as a receiver, as an option in the passing game, especially this season?
You know, I don't know that he's physically gotten better. We might just be discovering him. Some of the freakish things that you see him do in stadium, I saw on Georgia tape. Some of the freakish things that I've seen him do this year, I saw him do last year. He had a unique run after, certainly the other day, that kind of ignited our collective offensively and defensively. But he had a similar type play, I remember, in Indianapolis last year when we were kind of, you know, running in place offensively, and he made a play, and it kind of ignited us. He's a special athlete. He has unique talents. He's certainly a tough guy to deal with in one-on-one tackle circumstances, and it makes him a force to be reckoned with.
Mike, Chase Brown had two explosive runs against you guys, otherwise bottled up. But now you're facing a team that has like one of the highest explosive run rates in the NFL. What do you guys have to do in particular to stop how Chicago breaks their big runs?
You know, it's about us. It's not about our opponent. It's not respectfully. It's about being in our gaps and communicating and adjusting and being solid that way.
Mike, were you aware at the time that Jalen Ramsey said that Chase spit on him, and what's your thoughts on how the NFL handled that yesterday?
You know, I was aware. I certainly talked to Jalen in game. It's an unfortunate incident. It's not an act that's common to the game of football. It's nothing to do with football. And so I'm not going to comment on it. The NFL office rendered their judgment, and so we're moving on.
One thing you've noticed about Mason in your time being around him since he got here as a rookie, how much better he's gotten at playing at tempo, getting in and out of the huddle, making the offense move with pace.
Yeah, and that was a component of his game in Stillwater. And I think that's one of the subtle things that you talk about or think about when you're bringing the game to the quarterback. It's not only plays, but pace. Personnel groups, relationships with eligibles. There are a lot of variables that come into consideration when you're talking about teeing things up for a specific signal caller.
Mike, the turnover battle is always big for you guys. Obviously in L.A., not so great, and forced two for points this time. Just what was different this time?
We caught them. Sometimes it's subtle. As I mentioned, we're not reactionary in our commitment to our turnover culture, whether it's getting the ball or safeguarding it. Sometimes the results may differ, but the spirit and the commitment is unchanged. And so I don't know that anything was different in terms of our commitment or our approach or our process leading up to play. Certainly the results were different. But the results are going to be different every week. I think that's why this game is so exciting and people enjoy it.
Mike, what have you seen from your offensive line the past couple of weeks as far as the run game? It seems like it's been kind of sporadic with the big plays you guys have been able to hit in the run game.
You know, I just think in general we're growing as individuals and as a collective and growing in the right ways. But again, it's the same discussion when I was talking about Roman earlier. That's a reasonable expectation. We're a young group, man, with exposure. Should come and increase play. And whether that's an individual or whether that's a collective, that's just a general mindset.
Mike Ramsey plays with an edge. He has his whole career. When something like that happens on Sunday, because the play before they had to be separated, was your message to him to try to simply remove himself from that stuff? And how do you, as a competitor, how do you sort of keep him from sort of, you know?
I have no message if someone spits in your face. Do what comes natural.
How do you balance playing experienced players versus playing hot players, like in the case of Pierre and Slay, where Pierre is breaking up a lot of the passes, and I know that some of those because he's getting those targets, but overall he is playing at a high level, you know, balancing using that hot hand versus bringing in the experienced depth.
What's your question?
How do you balance that as a coach, making that decision as far as who to use?
Thoughtfully.
Anyone else?
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, I think a mixed message there at the end, because Tomlin said that he knew that Ramsey had been spit on before the end of the game. He talked with Jalen, yet he went up to the post-game podium and said Jalen's got to keep that under control, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right about that, Limits?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he said.
So he said that after the game, and now today it's, I have no message if someone spits in your face. Do what comes natural. So I'm not quite sure where he actually stands on that. And we had the discussion yesterday. I get it. You lose your mind. I'd lose my mind. You'd lose your mind. It's about the most disrespectful thing you can do on a football field to another person or in general in life. But does that excuse it in all circumstances? Would we all excuse it if it were a playoff game in the last 3 minutes? Tomlin knew about it when he went to the post-game podium the other day and said, if you can find that, Limits, you have it? He said a minute. Okay, I think he said, you just can't do that. Well, now apparently that's changed. Meanwhile, the big story is Aaron Rodgers. And it sounds to me like Friday's the day. Like, Mason Rudolph will get the reps. Will Howard's name been mentioned for the first time all year, I think, at a news conference as getting some reps. But then if Aaron's ready to go Friday, and I would suggest maybe even Saturday from the sounds of it, that he will play on Sunday. I think he's going to play. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette going to join me in a little bit here after a very brief intermission. And we're going to break the whole thing down. Do you have what Tomlin said after the game the other day about Jalen?
I didn't need any. It doesn't matter. We gotta be smarter. We gotta stay in football games as individuals.
Okay. So now that's totally different. I think he was just annoyed by the end of the news conference again. Bert came in with an early any more questions Limits, didn't he?
Well, it was surprising because with about, well, there ended up being another 5 minutes of questions, but there was that dead silence, that pause. I wonder if that was somebody waiting to ask the spit question that nobody had asked yet. Because he even sounded like confused, like, anyone else? I mean, no other questions?
And then all
Isn't there
sudden,
an obvious one out there?
And then an avalanche of questions. And I guess the follow-up to Tomlin needed to be there. Mike, you said something different. If you knew that he spit, why did you say after the game that it's basically you can't take yourself out of a game and now you're saying anything goes if you're spit at? It's, what's your actual opinion on that? And what's your message for the future? Should something like that happen, you know, and where do you draw the line on something that's said or an act like that? I don't know. I do get it. Believe me, I do get it. His reaction. I just wonder if we'd all be having the same conversation if that were to happen at a critical moment in, say, a playoff game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin addressing the media today, talking about Aaron Rodgers, and it sure sounds like it's a case of we'll see if he can go Friday, and if he can, he's in. I mean, the whole thing sounded to me like he's in. That's what it sounded like to me. I would even guess if it were Saturday. That's how I interpreted it, all of that. Let's hear from Mr. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. The Batconian Mongoose is on the line. He's also on your YouTube feed. You can go find our YouTube channel, subscribe for free. Go right through our website, 937thefan.com, or go straight to YouTube, and you can see a mongoose in the wild, so to speak. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you today?
I've never been better. That was an interesting news conference. Did you interpret it the same way I did with Rodgers, that Friday, if he's a go Friday, he's in, and who knows, maybe if he can just go Saturday in a walkthrough type situation?
Yeah, that news conference picked up steam like the Steelers in the fourth quarter Sunday, and the spitting exchanges were like James Pierre front flipping into the end zone. So I was a little worried that we were in for a clunker there until the end. But yeah, I definitely got the vibe. Trying to kind of read Mike Tomlin's mind and words that Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I thought that was an interesting question about the Bears being the opponent this week in Chicago specifically, because I think a lot of people in the NFL world who have watched Aaron Rodgers for two decades couldn't help but wonder if this opponent was the Panthers on the road, would it be a little different calculus than getting the chance to play that team again, his own personal little brother? But obviously Mike Tomlin shot that down, dunked on it, spiked it, swatted it away, Mutombo'd it, all that stuff.
You blanked out on me for a minute there. What was the last part of what you said?
I thought it was interesting that it was brought up about Rodgers potentially wanting to play a little bit more because it's the Bears.
Right.
His own personal punching bag. For nearly two
Tomlin
decades,
jumped,
but obviously
Tomlin jumped on that like Darnell Washington on a Bengals defender, didn't he?
He gave that one the Mutombo. Yeah, he swatted that away. But I mean, I think everybody out there in the NFL world is like, hey, if it were the Panthers at Bank of America Stadium on Sunday, would it be a little different calculus? But no, I mean, we're shaping up for one of those Tomlin Steelers weeks of constantly trying to check on availability. And one Tomlinism that comes to mind from, I think it was a Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph from a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was Rudolph Ben, I don't know, but we'll land that plane when it's time to land the plane.
I mean, if I had to bet right now, I think the real smart money is on Rodgers playing, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, no surgery certainly makes you think that they'll find a way to, you know, brace or cast or wrap that thing up. But I was glad that, you know, in Tomlin's explanation there of decision-making, you know, he sort of started with him being able to, Rodgers being able to protect himself and pain tolerance. And I'm kind of sitting there thinking, this isn't a first round pick rookie that we're talking about here, Mike. I mean, this is someone who he's probably empty in the tank for the 2025 season. I think we all went into this year with that in mind, Aaron included. And then it really boiled down to his effectiveness too, at the end of the day. I think that's the biggest, domino that the Steelers coaching staff has to look for, being able to catch that snap, move around, protect the ball, because that's already become a little bit of a concern with Rodgers lately. And even if it's not your throwing hand, doing it with a broken or a fracture in your wrist can't be fun.
I mean, one thing about Rodgers I would never, ever question was his toughness, right? He came back to practice like faster than anybody in history from that Achilles. 77 days after surgery for a torn Achilles, he returned to practice. Now, I don't know how much he actually did, but still, it seemed clear that he really wanted to play if the Jets were in it at that point. And he's been sacked almost 600 times, and he hasn't missed a ton of games. I just think it's almost obvious that he's going to play in this game, and I think he's going to lobby very, very hard to do that.
Well, then the question that you'll be taking callers on the rest of the week, I suppose, will be, should Tomlin play him in this game, or should he save him from himself? I think somebody asked about that today, too. How much pull does Aaron have himself in making this decision? I think it'd be one thing if it were Will Howard and whether or not he's going to start with an injury, or a guy who's a four-time MVP, future Hall of Famer. But what complicates matters is he hasn't been playing very well the last game
right.
and a half. So Tomlin, he's been through this before. He can shoot down those questions however many times we request him from now until Friday or after the game Sunday if it doesn't go well, or after the game Sunday if it does go well. But yeah, either any way you slice it, Joe, I feel like this is not a great position for the Steelers to be in. A lot of people were holding their breath all season every time Rodgers took a hit.
I don't know. Can this
would that be one that injures him?
Yeah. I mean, could this get significantly worse? Limits? Can you get a hand doctor, some sort of orthopod on the line, if you would, please? It strikes me that if you have a small fracture in your hand or wrist, does it become a bigger fracture? Can it become worse? Or
I would
it,
think so.
Would you? I don't know. Or is it just a matter of pain tolerance, which I think he's quite proven at withstanding pain? I don't know. What would be the risk of playing and furthering such an injury? I don't know, Brian. Do you? You must.
I'm not a hand doctor.
You went to...
nor did I stay at Holiday Inn Express last night.
No.
But just common sense, I think this isn't like playing with a pulled hamstring where you
right.
risk pulling it more off the bone or something like that, or a calf strain like the previous elderly quarterback that the Steelers had in here was probably pushing to play through that. Well, that can become a torn Achilles very quickly, according to the experts out there, I think. So, I don't think this is that, but I think you still do worry about overall effectiveness with Rodgers, even independent of the injury.
Yes.
And now he's got something that it was enough that he didn't feel he finished that drive. I thought it was odd that Mike Tomlin didn't know what play he got hurt on. That might have just been Mike trying to obfuscate everything he possibly can. But I did think it was odd that Rodgers headed down to the locker room even as the Steelers were kicking off there after that field goal, because they could have muffed the kick return. They could have forced a fumble and had another drive. But obviously he felt bad enough with that wrist that he wanted to get a head start on getting it looked at.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. 90% chance of rain and a high of Troy Polamalu, 43, a low of Rod Woodson, 26. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Limits, why don't you play a treat or two before the top of the hour?
And I love treats.
Brian Batko interpret it for us,
well,
if he would.
Tomlin at first said that he wasn't going to comment on the whole thing about Ramsey, Brian, but then he did.
Were you aware at the time that Jalen Ramsey said that Chase spit on him? And what are your thoughts on how the NFL handled that yesterday?
You know, I was aware. I certainly talked to Jalen in game. It's an unfortunate incident. It's not an act that's common to the game of football. It's nothing to do with football. And so I'm not going to comment on it. The NFL office rendered their judgment, and so we're moving on.
A few moments later.
Mike Ramsey plays with an edge. He has his whole career. When something like that happens on Sunday, because the play before they had to be separated, was your message to him to try to simply remove himself from that stuff? And how do you, as a competitor, how do you sort of keep him from sort of,
I have no message if someone spits in your face. Do what comes natural.
Okay, but this was Tomlin on Sunday when he just said he knew that Ramsey had been spit on, Brian. This was him Sunday after the game. Limitless wonder.
You got to give me a little bit more of a leeway into that joke, considering it's so far back into the archives. We've had so many things that Tomlin talked about.
I know.
This was it.
I didn't need any. It doesn't matter. We gotta be smarter. We gotta stay in football games as individuals.
So which is it, Brian?
I don't know. I was wondering the same thing. I feel like we could talk about this for 4 hours because this is one of those topics that it ultimately doesn't really matter because Tomlin's response to it is this isn't like how would he handle it again if they have fourth and one at midfield. This is a guy getting spit on in a game. It's probably not going to happen again this season or maybe in the time that Tomlin's coaching the Steelers. So this isn't a particularly football-relevant debate, but it's one of those ones that does kind of transcend football and sports. What do you do if someone spits on you? So it's funny to just talk about with your friends at the bar or whatever. And I can't make heads or tails of Tomlin's explanation because, and I also tell you this, guys, from the press box, I'm watching the whole thing unfold. I did not see Tomlin in any sort of discussion with Ramsey. He was being calmed down by Darrell Young, their player development guy, who's like, he's kind of the get back coach on the sideline. Not that Tomlin ever needs
Ramsey
that,
was being calmed down. Yeah.
Yes. And he was incensed. And then the assistant O-line coach, Isaac Williams, came over. Broderick Jones came over because he has eons of experience doing this with George Pickens. So he was exactly the right man to call upon to calm someone down who was crashing out on the sideline at that time. It was probably muscle memory from Broderick Jones to go over there. Point being, I didn't see Tomlin interact with Ramsey then, and obviously Ramsey has to go take an early shower. Tomlin's coaching the rest of the game. He didn't go down to the locker room to chat with Ramsey and, I guess, Aaron Rodgers, who never emerged. But maybe he talked to him afterward before he came up to the podium. So, yeah, I was a little surprised his initial response today. And then, yeah, he seemed to indicate at the end that he's got Ramsey's back. And I thought it was funny that Zach Taylor – I don't know about funny. I thought it was kind of disgraceful, actually, that Zach Taylor had Jamar Chase's back and didn't just, you know, condemn it outright. He went on this big soliloquy about how Chase is such a good leader and he made a mistake and he's going to respond from this. And then I don't know if you guys have seen this discourse today online. There's a whole other sort of contrarian talking point developing that in football, we've had these spitting incidents. And we immediately clutch our pearls when this happens, but we cheer when a guy tries to take someone's head off on a hit, over the middle, on the field. That's what we celebrate in this game. Is there a incongruent thought process there? And this also dovetails with Bengals fans think Chase was headhunting, or excuse me, Ramsey was headhunting Chase all game, and they were all too eager to point that out on social media in the last 48 hours.
Wait, so... I mean, all those things that you mentioned are part of the game, even intimidating hits, even illegal hits in some ways. I do think spitting falls into a different category, don't you?
Yeah, and I guess I look at it too, Joe, as and this is why I think Tomlin's answer to it is interesting too, just as a leader of men. I guess I would tell someone, hey, if you spit in someone's face or even if you're saying certain things to someone's face, I know trash talking is part of the game too. That's a little different than if you're on East Carson Street at midnight, but be ready for the repercussions if you do something like that. Know what you're getting into. And at the same time, I think what Tomlin was advocating for there immediately post-game was the Dak Prescott turn the other cheek approach and don't further hurt your team. Laugh it off, let the guy get in trouble and stay in the game so that you don't have to run Chuck Clark out there for the rest of it. So again, it's an interesting and intriguing thing to discuss, and everybody's going to have different opinions on it. We know Ramsey's opinion. I'm still not entirely sure what Tomlin's was, but all the players are going to have Ramsey's back on that as well, I think.
All right, let's get to more coming up next, Brian. We have a ton of clips here about Aaron Rodgers, about a variety of players, about why Jaylen Warren was set to go back in the game and then didn't, and about Darius Slay coming back to reclaim his starting spot. Is Tomlin going to give it to him? He answered that question rather surprisingly, I thought, as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.